Welcome to Pzena Perspectives, brought to you by Pzena Investment Management, a global value manager known for our commitment to fundamental research and disciplined value investing. This podcast is presented by Pzena Investment Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor, and is intended for institutional investors only. The views expressed reflect the current views of Pzena as of the date hereof and are subject to change. There is no guarantee that any projection, forecast, or opinion in this material will be realized. Past performance is not indicative of future results. In the UK, this podcast is for professional clients only. This marketing communication is presented by Pzena Investment Management Limited, which is an appointed representative of Vittoria & Partners LLP. Vittoria & Partners LLP is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. On today's episode, our Vice Chairman Bill Lipsey speaks with the founder of Rich Pzena and our Head of Leveraged Loans and High Yield Credit, Mark Herron, about the Pzena-focused credit opportunity strategy.
Hello, welcome to our conversation today. I'm Bill Lipsey. I'm a founding partner of Pzena Investment Management and currently our Vice Chairman. I'm joined today by my friend and partner, Rich Pzena. Rich is the founder of our firm and our chairman, and Mark Herron, portfolio manager in our credit area, and who has joined us 2.5 years ago to help us build a credit capability. I'd like to start the conversation with a journey back in time. Nearly 30 years ago, you asked me to write a business plan to join you in this enterprise that you were starting. I know now that it was part of your strategy to entice me to join you, and thankfully it worked. In writing the plan, I remember feeling, you know what, this is possible and it could be amazing fun. Now, one of the things that we wrote down was, and I'll attribute this to my youthful enthusiasm as a writer at age 35. We wrote that when we become considered among the world's premier value investors, hence the youthful enthusiasm, we should use the research platform in asset classes other than equity. Well, here we are, nearly 30 years later. We manage almost $65 billion. We have 160 employees in 4 offices around the world. Our clients are in many, many countries around the world. I'm wondering how you think about the history and how we got to this point and how we're either ready or able to execute on that strategy of building something outside of equity.
Well, it's interesting that you bring it up because I don't really remember that. I'm sure that's true and that was in there. But most of the last almost 30 years was building a real equity capability. That has been a long, long endeavor because to build a quality research team that gets it, I'll just use that language, isn't something that happens overnight. I would describe what our capability on the equity side, that we have the ability to research any opportunity anywhere in the world, no matter what the size, given 30 investment professionals with industry expertise that's global. Now, the transition of that, I know, because I really do remember that, but it wasn't the focus, right? It was the dream. That was part of a dream. And then we went through a period, we went through periods where we would look at the companies that we were investing in and see that their debt was trading at valuations that made absolutely no sense. Not that we were credit people, this is just observation. And so there were times, not just me, but our team would buy the debt of companies that we took an equity stake in because we're thinking, wow, we think this business has value, so the debt should be able to be paid off. The dream was also, there was some experience in it. And I'm gonna say maybe 5 years ago, we formally decided, let's turn the dream into reality. Because we knew a few things. We knew that we had this industry capability and that we had actual experience in our own personal accounts using that industry expertise to make credit investments where the debt got paid back, you know, and we made good returns. So it's very like value investing in that there's oftentimes similarities in the businesses and the companies that are mispriced. We also know, as we started the process of, you know, how do you do this, right? We know we have this research capability and this industry expertise, but we don't know anything about the credit markets other than our own personal dabbling in things. So we embarked on a process like we always did. We formed a strategic committee. We looked at the marketplace. We made observations that most credit organizations or strategies are very light on the real industry research and heavy on things like thinking about interest rates and ratings, and it was very different than the way we perceived of it. But we thought about all the opportunities you might think about, lifting out a team from somewhere else, making an acquisition. We actually talked to bankers and went and met with firms that were established. And we thought, wow, this isn't really smart, because the firms that were for sale because they were, something was wrong. There was a generational transition that you had to worry about. They were big tickets relative to our appetite for doing that. So we also went the route of meeting people. I don't know how many people we met, dozens, over the course of of that 5 year period, until about 3 years ago we ran into Mark. And I think we got very lucky.
Right. You know, first of all, I love the walk down memory lane, and I accept that our memories are not exactly the same. But in that 5 year process of looking at how do we enter this business and take advantage of the strengths that we have embedded in our business, what was it about Mark? And Mark, I know you're sitting right here, so close your ears for a second, but what was it about Mark that got you excited to say, this could be my investment partner in this exercise?
I get asked this question a lot about how do you recognize investment talent, and the answer is never satisfying to others. But I'll give the same answer I always give. Mark just got it. And what does that mean? I think what it means is you have a brain that works in a way that can understand risk and reward without it being formulaic. It's just inherent in the way they think. So all of a sudden, we were talking to a guy that was very different than everybody else that we had talked to. And you just know it when you see it. I often talk about this. There's the investment profession and the investment business. And there are a lot of credit businesses out there, but a profession is one where you have an expertise at something. And what we saw in Mark was a style, an approach, a thought process that really matched the way we think. So at that point, it became a no-brainer.
Good thing. Mark, let me turn the conversation to you. So this has been your life. Credit's been your life for the last 25 years or so. And up until you joined us at the beginning of 2022, you had spent the prior 6 years at Ellington Management, a structured credit hedge fund firm. So let me start with, what caused you to start searching for a new home, and what was it about Pzena that made you say, I want to join them?
Sure. Well, just stepping back for a second, you know, my entire career, I've been doing credit for 20, 25 years. And the focus has always been on these small, inefficient areas of the market, both the high yield market and the leveraged loan market. So the focus has always been on senior secured debt trading at a discount, smaller companies in high yield and leveraged loans. That's what I did while I was at Credit Suisse, working on a prop desk there. That's what I did at Ellington Management, running a credit sleeve there. And that's really what we're doing here. Again, focused on inefficient areas of the market. When I was looking to leave Ellington, I was really looking, Ellington, as you mentioned, is a structured products firm. So I was really looking to change tack and you know, look for someone who's really an expert at analyzing companies and company valuations. So, you know, the first meeting with Rich and the team here, I just knew that this was exactly the right spot. You know, Pazina has decades of experience doing company valuations, investing in things that are out of favor. You know, that's what a value investor does, and that's really my background. It's investing in things that are out of favor, trying to get a total return of a combination of coupon and price appreciation, but it's really a value credit investor. So I knew immediately it was like the perfect fit.
Yeah, it's easy when I hear you say these words, and I've heard you say these things in meetings to reflect on what Rich said, that you just get it. It was obvious that you could be joining us. And as we've both said, we're thrilled that you're here. I've taken to describing our launch of a credit strategy as very similar to when we launched Small Cap Value. And you just used that same analogy. And so I'd kind of like to hear you dive in about what it is that your strategy is taking advantage of. Small cap value takes advantage of inefficiencies, the lack of serious research being applied to businesses, particularly those that are undergoing stress. And so I'd love to hear how you do it and how you've been doing it all these years in credit.
Sure. So again, stepping back, the focus has always been and is here on just the smaller pieces of the market, the smaller companies. Right away, they're all private companies. 90% of these are private companies. But because they're small private, right away there's inefficiencies to them. But further from that, what we're focused on here is really, you know, even more inefficiencies in the market. So there's four main key areas that we're looking at. The first one is just buying debt that's trading at a discount in the secondary market. It could be trading at a discount for all sorts of reasons. It could be the rating, it could be the tranche size, it could be the sector is out of favor. An example of this is we bought a buildings products name in 2022 when people were fearing rates increasing and potential housing recession. We have expertise on the public side in the sector. We got comfortable with the valuation. We bought it at a discount. It worked out. That's one example. The other area is we'll do syndications, like new deals that are having problems being sold down for various reasons. Again, it could be the company, it could be the sponsor, it could be just a time in the market where the market is backing up. So an example of that is we bought an auto parts supplier. They originally were trying to syndicate it in the 90s. They ended up syndicating it in the mid 80s. So we have, again, on the equity side, very strong expertise owning large public auto supply companies. We use that expertise coupled with my credit knowledge to invest in the situation in the mid 80s, which is now trading near par. Thirdly, we invest in restructurings. And this is not, the goal is not to own debt, which is going to convert into equity and will be sold down the line. These are restructurings where it's simply they're asking you to, you know, push out the maturity on your debt maybe by a few years in return for coupon increases and pay downs. Or if there is restructuring more significant, it will be below what we own. We typically will buy the most senior piece of the capital structure. There could be events happening below what we're investing in. So an example of that is we invested in a furniture manufacturer who was asking the lenders to push out the maturity by 36 months. We again, on our public equity side, own public equity furniture manufacturers, so we had insights into that industry and business, and we successfully invested in that. And lastly, we invest in exit term loans and exit high yield bonds. So what this is when a company exits bank or enters bankruptcy, it might have $1 billion of debt. It might exit with only $200 million of debt. It's really de-risked from a credit angle. The leverage on this remaining debt is usually very low at 1x typically. It typically has a very high coupon in the teens. And that's just purely because it's usually not rated. It will exit bankruptcy not rated. The rating agencies will later rate it after it shows strong performance. And at that point, you know, the coupon will decrease and it will trade to par. So we were able to target mid-teens returns by investing in each of these sub sort of niche sectors, and that's how it's really been achieved.
Fantastic. But it begs the question that every meeting we've been in gets asked. So let me ask you to address the question. Here you are earning mid-teen returns with short durations, with collateralized notes, with excellent credit documents, low levels of leverage. How is this possible? How has an efficient market not eaten up this right. kind of return?
Yeah, I think you're right. That is the most common question we get asked. So again, it goes back to just purely the company size. The company size and the fact that they're private right away will gain, 3% additional yield just based on that. But why are more people not doing this? Large credit funds, they are just not able to. They have to deploy, a few hundred million dollars per position. These are smaller cap structures. It's not worth their time and effort to build, do all the research and then buy a $20 million position that won't move the needle for them. So they will not look at these. Like typically they will just, it just won't hurt any of their screens. Smaller firms could do it. But again, the huge difference between a small credit opportunities fund and us here is that we have a huge research team of, 30 professionals with 20 years of experience on average. We have access to $60 billion of investments in public equities, C-suite, CFO and CEOs. So that just gives us a research advantage that others don't have. And finally, it's the process. So our process, we've talked about how we do deep fundamental analysis on these credits. The process is very systematic. So it's a systematic process where we will screen out looking for short-dated, high-yielding, senior secured opportunities, yielding in the mid-teens, which were it's great risk reward, as Rich mentioned earlier. This process, the systematic process of constantly screening for these, married with the fundamental analysis, we think is just unique in the marketplace.
Okay, great. Yeah. Rich, let me bring you back into this conversation because you've joined Mark as members of our investment committee on the credit side. And I'd love to hear you talk about, as an equity investor, how that's working, how you're integrating your experience as a 40-year veteran as an equity investor into the credit exercise that we're engaged in.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because looking at this as an investment person, there's a whole range of opportunities that we look at. Some where your mouth just jaw just drops open because you say, I don't need any expertise here. This just makes no sense at all. So, for example, we knew because we lived through COVID and understood what happened to the airline industry during COVID, and there were some bankruptcies of carriers around the world that didn't have government support. And then COVID ended and their business, they went bankrupt. They reemerged from bankruptcy and they had these tranches of debt which were selling for substantially less than 1x EBITDA, yielding 15%+ for what you would think of as the national carrier of certain countries. I mean, it's like you say, what investment experience do I need to want to own that? And then there's the value you have from sitting on all the equity teams and having the 30 people. So for example, another one, which was a supplier to a heavy duty truck manufacturer where the yield was high. And Mark, who wouldn't have had any historical real knowledge of that business, was able to go to our heavy duty truck analyst, equipment analyst, and find out that one of the companies we owned used this company as a parts supplier. So it was a very, first of all, we understood where the truck industry was in its cycle, and he could have that perspective, but we could also make a call to one of this company's biggest customers and ask about it. So when I hear that, his credit analysis and his medium-term cash flow forecast. And I know our historical look at the whole set of financials over history and our own forecasts gives you a lot of comfort in that process. So I'm a set of eyes and ears that is employing some common sense and some connection to all the research that goes on that assists in this process.
Fantastic, fantastic. Mark, let me just sort of ask you to answer the same question. You're now partnering with an equity investor with a pretty good track record and a lot of experience. And so how's that going? And how have you felt integrating an equity investor's perspective in a credit world?
Sure. Having Rich be on the investment committee has obviously been just invaluable. Somebody who has decades of experience as a value investor, investing through multiple economic cycles, just provides insights that I wouldn't have otherwise. But importantly, also is the rest of the team, like the 30 person research team, which is used as sector expertise really. So every time we're looking at a new situation, we'll loop in the sector expertise. So example of that is we were looking at a chemical name that had gone through bankruptcy, one of these exit loans I'd mentioned before. It was very low leverage, call it one time of leverage in mid-teens yielding. But the company had gone through a bankruptcy, and it wasn't clear to me. I'm not a chemical expert on just what these chemicals were. They were they produced. What was the outlook for it? What was the valuation on it? And it just becomes so clear sitting down with our sector analysts on chemicals, having invested again hundreds of millions or billions of dollars into the chemical sector. We just have clear lines of sight into what we view as the projections for the prices, the valuation of the company. Another example is we invested in an agriculture company. Again, it was a super priority exit term loan, mid-teens yielding, low leverage. But when I looked around internally to see if we had any expertise on the sector, it turns out we own like the largest competitor on the public equity side. So we had, again, complete line of sight into our views on the industry, which it turns out is an undersupplied industry. So it's very attractive. You can have pricing power and there's going to be demand going forward for several years. But we have the expertise on the public side. So really having the expertise of Rich as a value investor for decades, plus the rest of the 30-person research team, it's been excellent.
So you're sort of triggering my natural next question, which is we get in the marketplace so far is we've gone to some clients and they know Pzena pretty well. And they know the fact that we've built a world-class research team with 30 folks, just like you described, with decades of average experience. And then they say, how can you do this credit exercise with one person?
Right. So the first thing I would say is obviously it's not one person. it's one person doing the credit analysis, but it's 30 people really doing like the sector analysis, valuation, outlook, just even history of where the industry's been, where is it going. That really plays into it. But importantly also, I should mention that we also have the entire legal and compliance, area of the firm involved in this. So if there's amendments or restructurings on any of our positions, we also have the mid office involved. So it's really not one person, it's dozens of people. Mid office is responsible for marking the book and doing the trading, the booking of trades. But this is really a dozens of people. It's not a single person sitting in a room. Also, I should note, just for background for anyone who's curious, at other firms, I typically ran several hundred millions of dollars, before hiring any additional help. And that was really just me surrounded by at Ellington, a structured products firm. It wasn't me surrounded by the depth of the research team here. And it's still possible because it's not a high frequency strategy. This is buy something at 85, and when it works out to par, then we'll move on. It's not buy it at 85 and sell it at 86. So again, you really have this huge infrastructure of the firm behind the effort.
Okay, Mark, Rich, thanks for having this conversation. I know I'm speaking for everyone at Pzena. We're very excited to be on this journey, and we'll look forward to coming success.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Pazina Perspectives. If you'd like to hear more, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. And for more insights on value investing, visit our website at www.pazina.com. That's www.pzena.com.